Today's Shas Masechta Gittin Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The bottom line: Amalei Ravina LeRava. As we learned in the previous year, first we learned the Machlekes in the Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon regarding a get muktam, that the date that the get was written, which is the date that appears on the get, wasn't the same date as the get was actually signed. Would Rabbanan disqualify such a get? And Rav Shimon says that such a get is a kosher get. And in learning and understanding the opinion of the Rabbanan that disqualify such a get, we learned two explanations. One was the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Techapa, Basa Chaisai. We are concerned that the husband will write the date of the get is not actually the date that the get was effective. She might have had an immoral relationship prior to the effectiveness of the get, and we would have a situation where she was an ish who had an adulterous relationship, but they'll use the get to prove that she was already divorced. Reish Lakish mentioned a different concern. Reish Lakish mentioned the concern of Shem Peiros. We were concerned that as soon as the get is effective, the halach is that he may no longer partake of the peiros of her nechsim log, and therefore if the date isn't accurate, he may lose out, she may lose out, by the date not being effective. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina LeRava, Kasvei, if somebody wrote a get, v'oisei b'kisasei, and he put it into his pocket, he's not quite sure if he wants to get divorced or not. D'mefais etefais, his thinking is that, you know what, there's still always a chance for Shalom Bayis, that they may reconcile. Mai, according to our understanding, that there's a concern that if you write the date of the get was written today, then he puts it into this packet with the possibility for hope, why should such a get be effective? For the reasons that we just explained, a predated debt is not a valid get. And as Rashi explains, because we should be concerned that maybe she'll have an adulterous relationship between the date and the get and the date that they actually got divorced. Taisa says the concern is also Paris, because until they're actually divorced, he's entitled to the Paris. But if we follow the date on the get, she'll claim that she was entitled to the Paris. So how could such a get be effective? Answers the Gemara, Amalei. This is not a concern. If they're not intending to get divorced, people don't write a get because they may need it down the road. A get is a terrible thing. That's the way most Rishonim learn. Others say that that's exactly what the Gemara means. Because the husband recognizes that writing such a get to cause him serious financial repercussions, because he's not entitled to the payers according to the date of the get, no one is going to write such a get and take such a risk. I saw that the Chasam Sofer says, based on this concept of lo magnum inish perinos lenafshei, people don't cause themselves tzaris if they don't need to. The Chasam Sofer says, which is not really what I saw in other svarim, that a person should not buy himself a cemetery plot prior to his death, because obviously a cemetery plot is pretty bad. Lo magnum inish perinos lenafshei, and in fact, he brings a very nice raya. Avraham Avinu certainly knew that he wanted to bury himself and Sarah should be buried in the Maris Machpelah. Yet we don't find that Avram approached Ephraim to buy the Maris Machpelah until Sarah actually passed away. So we see, Le Magdam Inish Pernos Le Nafshe. Amalei Ravina Larvashi. Get na bom Mdina Sayam. A get that comes from overseas. The Michtav Ben Nisan. The get itself was only written in Nisan. However, Le Matu Atishrei. In those times, transportation and delivery was a complicated situation. So the get was written in Nisan, but it didn't arrive until Tishrei. So here, we have a real issue. Ma'u ilu chachom betakantom. What have Chazal accomplished with their saying, as we learned in the previous year, that a date of a get is such a crucial piece of information? What do I have from the piece of information if the get was written in Nisan, but it's not effective until Tishrei? Amalo. So he answered, Hani Koyle Islay. Such a get is certainly a get that everybody is aware that even though the get was written in Nisan, it didn't become effective until Tishrei. We're going to rely strictly on the Eidei Mesira, and therefore people will not make a mistake of assuming that the get is effective from the date written in the get versus the date that it was actually given over and became effective. The halacha is, we learned these gemaras from Masechet Yevamos, that a woman whose husband passes away is not supposed to get remarried for 90 days. And as we learned, the halacha is a very strict halacha, and even in a situation where there is no concern that the woman is pregnant, because the reason a woman is not supposed to get married for 90 days after the termination of the marriage, because we're concerned that she's pregnant, and then she'll have a child after 7 months, and we're not sure if he's a 7th-month child of the second husband or a 9-month child of the first husband. So we have to wait for 90 days to ascertain if she's pregnant from the first marriage or the second marriage. As we went to Masechet Yevamos, either the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very makbid, is very careful about the yichus of Klal Yisrael, and we need to know who is everyone's father. Or as we explained in Masechet Yevamos, is really much more of a concern. If someone doesn't know really who his father is, we could have all sorts of problems in Klal Yisrael with brothers marrying sisters, because you're not exactly sure who's your sister, who's your brother, if you're not sure who's your father. And the halacha is very strict, that even if there is no chance that this woman is pregnant, we discussed if the woman is a ketana, so she's certainly not pregnant, or on the other hand, if the woman is a old woman post-menopause, that she's certainly not pregnant, or if their husband and wife weren't living together for who knows how long, so she's certainly not pregnant because they weren't together. The halacha doesn't make any exception. The 90-day rule is a hard and fast rule. And now the Gemara begins to discuss, what is the halacha regarding a get? From what point do we start counting the 90 days? And we have here machloikas. Itmar, me'ema seymane l'get. When do we start counting the 90 days? Rav am m'shas nesina, for when the get is given to the wife. V'shmul amar m'shas k'siva. We follow the date when the get is written. Rav Kiva Eger is not quite sure what does m'shas k'siva mean. Does it mean the date that it's written or the date that it's signed? Maskla Rav Nosson bar Oisha l'shmul. Ask Rav Nosson bar Oisha to Shmuel, how could you say that we start counting from the date that the get is written? If we're going to have two women married to a man, Reuven has two wives, Rachel and Leah. He writes the get for Rachel, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He writes the get for Leah and Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And he only leaves town on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. For as the Rishonim explained, this was the typical case where a get was written. In those days, if a husband left, and he was concerned what would happen in Medina Sayyam, that he may not come back, and no one will know what happened to him, and his wives will remain agunas. It's because of that, husbands would very commonly give their wives a get before they took such a dangerous trip. So here, where he wrote the first get on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, wrote the second get on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and only gives both getten on Rosh Chodesh Iyar the day he decides to travel, people, so now according to Shmuel's opinion, the wife that got the get Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the get was written Rosh Chodesh Nisan, can get married 3 months after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The wife that gets the get in Rosh Chodesh Iyar has to wait 3 months from Rosh Chodesh Iyar. But people will know that he left in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and they only gave the get in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and they're not going to understand why this wife was able to get married prior to the other wife. And that's why Rav says we should always wait for the day that the get is actually given over. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, and according to Rav, does everything make sense? Rav says that the two getten were given over on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and that's why we start counting for Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Now, it's 3 months later. Rachel gets married. It's 3 months from Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Leah doesn't get married because she didn't find a shidduch. So, were people going to say, why did Rachel get married and Leah not get married? If Rav is concerned, why is he concerned in that situation? So, Mefarshim say the situation is very different. A woman, in the first case where Rachel got married 2 months after Rosh Chodesh Iyar, because she started counting for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Leah wants to get married, and she has a man that wants to marry her, and she says, no, I have to wait 1 more month, we're going to have this discrepancy that we can't explain. But if we're going to have a situation that they both start counting Rosh Chodesh year, and Rachel gets married 3 months later, and Leah doesn't, people are going to understand. Rachel found a husband, Leah didn't find a husband. It's not because the halacha is preventing them from getting married. And that's why Rav says, we count from the day that the get was given, not from the date of the get. Amar Abaya, so how does Shmuel defend this concern? So he says Shmuel defends the concern very simply. Yes, both gittin were only given Rosh Chodesh year. But the first wife has a get that clearly says on it that it was dated Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That is enough to create publicity that everybody should know that the get is counted from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Zuzman gitta mechir chaleh, v'zuzman gitta mechir chaleh, and we follow the date on the get. We don't have to follow the date when it was actually transmitted. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosli the Rav, and Tanya Kavosli the Shmuel. There's a brice that corroborates Rav's opinion, there's a brice that corroborates Shmuel's opinion. Tanya Kavosli the Rav, the brice says, Hashaleich get l'ishtoi, if somebody sends a get to his wife with a shliach, v'nishtah shliach b'derek gimel chadashim. Again, in those days, modes of transportation were very complicated, and it could have well taken a shliach 3 months to arrive. Shigia get l'yodah, so now it's 3 months from when he sent the shliach. The halach is tzrich l'hamtin gimel chadashim. She still has to wait now from the date that she actually received the get, 3 months, because we start counting, as Rav taught us, Mishas Nesina. Furthermore, we're going to learn later in our Masechta the opinion of Beis Hillel that says that if a husband gives a wife a get, and then after the husband gives the wife a get, or prepares a get, not actually gives a get, but he prepares a get for his wife, there are biyichud, they're secluded, that nullifies the get. Here in this case, where the husband is a Medina Sayyam, so even though there was quite a time interval between when he wrote the get and sent the get till she received the get, 3 months, but they couldn't have been together because they were in different places in the world, so the concern of get yoshon doesn't apply. So clearly here the Braita says, we start counting the 90 days from when the get was actually given over. However, Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel, there's another Braita that says, L'Shmuel, Hamash L'Shget L'Ishtoi, if somebody leaves over a get by third party for his wife, Vamaloi, and he tells this third party, Al Tetneuloi, El Acha Gimel Chadashim, even though the get is completely prepared, I don't want it given to her until 3 months, Mishnos Nula, as soon as those 3 months are over, since this 3 months, from when the get was written until it was actually given to her, the halacha is, Meteres L'Nos Miyat, she can get married immediately, because we follow the date that the get was written. And furthermore, Ulaget Yoshin Ein Choshin, we're not worried about get Yoshin, Shreilin HaSeachrimah. They weren't together from when the get was written. And here we have a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, if somebody leaves a get with a third party for his wife, we're only not going to be concerned about a get Yoshin, as in the previous case we described, where the husband and wife weren't in the same town. But if the husband and wife were in the same town, even though we have no evidence that they were together, makes no difference. We have to be concerned about a get Yoshin. That's Rashi's opinion. Tysus' opinion is that just because they were in the same city, and we have no evidence that they were together privately, we don't have to be concerned that it's a get Yoshin, and that the get would be an effective get. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, Avdim Shas Ksiva, they started counting the 90 days from the Shas Ksiva. Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, Avdim Shas Nesina, they start counting from when the get was actually given to the wife. The Hilchasan, the Aloch is, Mishas Ksiva, we follow the date that the get was written. The Ramah, however, says that we should be Machmer and wait Mishas Nesina. That we start counting the 90 days, not from the date that the get was written, we start counting the 90 days when the get was actually given over. Which is a really fascinating Ramah, because if we think about it, the entire basis for Rav's concern that we should count Mishas Nesina is because a person may have two wives that he wrote two gittin for, different dates but gave the same day. That concern cannot apply nowadays because nobody has two wives. We have the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. So the Gemara is actually telling us that we follow the opinion of Rav, even though the reasoning for Rav's halacha is no longer applicable, which is very common that we find this in halacha, that we follow an opinion even if the reasoning for the opinion is no longer relevant. So there's a very interesting discussion that I saw. We learned at the end of yesterday's shiur that a date of a get does not have to have the exact date. Of course, preferably, as we discussed, the date should be the exact date, today's date. However, we learned that if you wrote in what Shemitah we are in, what week we're in, what year we're in, what month we're in, that's also considered a dated get. Says the Ritva that in a case where the get has a date, but the date is not an exact date, it's only telling us what Shemitah, what year, there everybody will agree, even Shmuel will agree, that we follow Shas Nesina. That's the Ritva's opinion. And it makes a lot of sense, because a date that's not an exact date doesn't really tell us that much. Says Rav Chanan, Bichumra. Rav Chanan Vassman says, if we learned in the previous year that the date, even if you only mention the year or the Shemitah, is considered a valid date, you can't use it l'chkula and not l'chumra. You have to use it all the way. So let's say the get says that it was written this year, and it doesn't say a date. So then we don't say like Rav, we should follow Shas Nesina. We have to be machmer, and even if the get was actually written and given the first day of the year, since it just says the year, but it doesn't say what day of the year, we could only start counting the 90 days from the last day of the year. And more of a chumrah, let's say it says in what Shemitah the get was written, and we're in the third year of the Shemitah. Since it doesn't indicate where we are in the Shemitah cycle, according to Rabbi Chanan, we'll have to wait to the last day of the Shemitah cycle. If you didn't write an exact date, we have to go to chumrah and wait till the last day. And if we speak about Shemitah, which is the next piece of the Gemara, one of the halachas of Shemitah is Shemitah's Ksofim, that all loans are cancelled during the Shemitah year. However, as will become clear in the Gemara, Shemitah's Ksofim only applies to the two exceptions, two primary exceptions to Shemitah's Ksofim. One is if it's a regular loan. But let's say it's a Bezdin's decision. It's a Tanai Bezdin. Then Shemitah's Ksofim doesn't apply to that obligation. Secondly, this is a very important thing, is that Shemitah's Ksofim only applies to loans that are due during the Shemitah year. In other words, let's say I owe you money, and the due date is past the Shemitah year. There's no din of Shemitah's Ksofim. So because of those two reasons, under normal circumstances, a ksuba is not subject to the halachas of Shemitah's Ksofim. Because number one, a ksuba is a Tanai Bezdin. As we learned in Masechet Ksubas, the halacha is that even if a husband didn't write a ksuba for his wife, he's obligated to pay the ksuba. And secondly, the ksuba is not due. If the marriage is fine, hopefully all marriages are fine, there is no obligation to pay the ksuba. So now our Gemara discusses, Meimusai ksuba mishametas. Under what circumstances does a ksuba become do the halachas of Shemitah's Ksofim apply to Ksuba? And again, we have here Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Omar, Mishatifkayim v'tiskayim. You have to have two things happening. Number one is, you have to have tifkayim, that she took partial payment. Once she takes partial payment, and this is the way the Tosfos Rid explains our Gemara, she already turned this Ksuba by taking partial payment into no longer being a Tanai Bezdin. But that's only one reason. We also have to have that it should be a loan. So how do we accomplish that? The Tiskoif, that she says that the remainder of the Ksuba should be now not a regular Tanai Bezdin, a regular Ksuba obligation, but it should be a loan obligation. By doing Tifkoif, the Tiskoif, and the Mefarshim say that according to Rav, the order is crucial. First, they have to take partial payment. And after she takes partial payment, she creates that the rest of the ksuba should be a loan obligation. Then, and only then, is the ksuba subject to Shemitah's Ksofim. But Shmuel says, Pogmat b'shalai zakfa, if she took partial payment, even though she didn't say that the rest of the payment should be a loan, or zakfa at b'shalai pogma, or if she took and turned the ksuba into a loan obligation versus partial payment, that is a rough to make in the Shemitah's ksofen. And the reasoning behind Shmuel is that Shmuel says, either of these acts clearly create a situation that it's a regular loan, and a regular loan is subject to the halachos of Shemitah's Ksofen. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosi the Rav, there's a braisa that says like Rav, and Tanya Kavosi the Shmuel, there's a braisa that corroborates Shmuel's opinion. Tanya Kavosi the Rav, Meimisai Ksuba Mishametis, from when is a Ksuba subject to Shemitah's Ksofen, Mishatifkaim Vatiskaiv. When we have both of these situations, she received partial payment, and she turned the rest of the Ksuba into a loan. However, if we only have one of those, Pogma v'loi zakva, she took partial payment, but she didn't make the remainder into a loan. Or zakva v'loi pogma, she made it into a loan without taking partial payments. Eina mishametis, it's not subject to Shemitah, at shetif goyim v'tiskaif. Tanya kavasa de Shmuel, but Shmuel's brisa, there's a brisa like Shmuel too. Oinus, we know if a man, chas v'sholem, violates a woman, she has to pay her chamishim kesef. Knas is, if someone is mitzi shemra on a woman, he's mechuyev to pay a meya kesef. And the mefarshim explain, why is mitzi shemra considered a knas? Why is that what's called a knas? So I saw two answers. One answer is, in all other situations, if one chas v'sholem violates a woman, he doesn't necessarily only have to pay the knas. He might have done damage to this woman, and he's mechuyev to pay also nezek tzar, ripui shevis, and boishes. By mitzi shemra, it's not physical damage. So the only thing you're going to have to ever pay is the knas. That's one explanation why it's called a knas. Another explanation why it's called a knas is because we know that throughout halacha, there's halacha of kimle b'drabimnei. We don't give a person two punishments, a physical punishment and a financial punishment. This is the one exception to the rule. Somebody who's mitzi shemra gets malchus, and besides getting malchus, he also has to pay the meya kesef, pitui, if somebody seduces a woman, that he has to pay a fine. The ksubis isha, says the braisa, shizok from the milva, if he turned them into a loan, then mishamtim, the subject to shmitas ksofim, mlav, eina mishamtim. If not, they're not subject to Shemitah's Ksofen. So the Rishonim discuss, why is the halacha that a knas, unless it was actually turned into a loan, not subject to Shemitah's Ksofen? And there are a number of explanations I saw in the Rishonim. The simplest explanation is because it's not something that was created between a malva and a loiva, between two parties. It's something that the Torah dictates. Another pshat that I saw is because a knas is not something that you're always going to have to pay. The halacha is, if somebody who's before he's obligated to pay the knas admits that he did the wrong thing, the halacha is that he's potter. He doesn't have to pay the knas. Another reason is, because why does somebody have to pay a knas? Because he did a terrible sin. So we don't want it to be considered like every loan, which is subject to Shemitah's Ksofim. We want that the person should have to pay it under all circumstances, unless he actually turned it into a loan. Continues the braisa. At what point are they considered like a loan? Mishas hamod b'din. Only when they go to Bezdin, and Bezdin obligates this person to pay it, and then the person who's supposed to receive the money turns it into a loan, then they could be considered a loan to be subject to Shemitah's Ksof. There's a machlokes, the Urayim, and the Meches Chinuch. Shemitah's Ksof, which we just learned, are loans during the Shemitah year are canceled. How does that happen? So the Meches Chinuch says, it happens automatically. When the Shemitah year comes, some say at the beginning of the year, some say at the end of the year, but when the Shemitah year comes, loans are canceled. The Urayim disagrees. The Urayim says that a loan is only canceled in Shemitah if the Malva explicitly cancels the loan. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Goyonei HaShas, asked the following question. Shemitah is a mitzvah sasashas magrama, only during the Shemitah year. So he asks, would women be subject to the halach of Shemitah's Ksofim? It's a mitzvah seishes zman grama. And we know that women are always exempt from mitzvah seishes zman grama. So he says, certainly according to the Michas Chinuch, that says that Shemitah Kesafim happens automatically, there is no question. Nobody has to do anything. It happens by itself. And therefore, it makes no difference if the Malva is a man or a woman, Shemitah Kesafim applies. But what about if, according to the Urayim, that for Shemitah Kesafim to come into effect, we have to actually cancel the loan? So maybe it's a mitzvah seishes zman grama that shouldn't apply to women. So he says, our Gemara is clearly a proof that Shemitah Kesafim even applies to women. Because what's the case of our Gemara? Where the woman is owed the ksuba, and whether we follow Rav's opinion or Shmuel's opinion, the Gemara says that if it turns into a loan, however they said, then the woman is, then it's subject to Shemitah Kesafim. But why? It's a mitzvah seishes zman grama. So he gives two, so it's proof that Shemitah Kesafim even applies to women. But why? Isn't the mitzvah seishes zman grama? So he gives two explanations. One explanation is, mitzvah seishes zman grama is only on something that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Women are exempt, mitzvah seishes zman grama. Here you don't have to do anything. You're just not supposed to take the money. It's not doing something, it's just not doing something. There is no exemption of mitzvah seishes zman grama. Another explanation he gives, fascinating explanation. He says, what is the definition of a mitzvah seishes zman grama that women are exempt from? Let's use our example that we just used a second ago, shofar. Shofar has a beginning and an end. You have to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Before Rosh Hashanah, it's meaningless. After Rosh Hashanah, it's meaningless. It has a beginning and an end. Shemitah Kesafim has a beginning. Shemitah Kesafim only kicks in during the Shemitah year. But it doesn't have an end. Those loans are canceled forever. Those loans don't come back after the Shemitah year. Something that doesn't have a beginning and an end is not considered a mitzvah seishes zman grama that women are exempt from. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, ksuba k'masa bezdin dami. A ksuba is considered like a ma'aseh bezdin. Ma'aseh bezdin. Even though we've been discussing in the shiurim that a get that's written on one day and signed on the next day is invalid, a ma'aseh bezdin, a psak of bezdin, nechtovim b'yoyim v'nechtam b'layla. You could write it by day and have it signed the next night, and it will be considered a valid psak. Af ksuba, since it's a ma'aseh bezdin, the halacha is nechtovim b'yoyim v'nechtam b'layla. You could write and do the chuppah and the ksuba by day, even though you don't actually sign the ksuba to the next night. Says the Gemara, ksubasid Rav Chiya bar Rav, the ksuba of Rav Chiya bar Rav, ichtav b'yoyim, was indeed such a situation. It was written by day, ve'echtem b'layla. Have a Rav Hossam, and Rav was at that wedding, where the ksuba was prepared in such a fashion, v'loy oim v'loy mide, and he didn't say anything. Says the Gemara, leim k'shmu sfirlei, shouldn't the fact that Rav didn't say anything be a clear indication that he agrees with Shmuel's psak, that a ksuba could be gone by day and signed by night, and it wouldn't be considered a shtar mugdam? Says the Gemara, asukim ba'is inyanava. We can't have a raya from there. Because there, they were busy with getting married the entire time. And the halacha is that whenever we have a shtar that's asukim ba'is inyan, that they're consistently busy with writing it, everybody agrees that even if it goes from the day to the night, the shtar is a valid shtar. It's not considered a shtar mugdam. The Tanya, Amr Belezer Reb Tzadik, Loy Shon Al Kshein Asukim Bais Inyan. Where they are concerned if a shtar is written by day and signed the next night, that it may invalidate the shtar, is if they weren't Isaac, they weren't busy with the shtar the entire time. Av Asukim Bais Inyan, if they were busy with that shtar the entire time, kosher. And we have here a number of opinions cited by the Rishonim, number of Machlokes Rishonim. Many Rishonim say that even though we're saying a sukim ba'isa inyan allows us to have the shtar with the date of today and only sign tonight, that's not by a get. Why not by a get? Because we go back to what Rabbi Yochanan said. If the get will have today's date, it was only given tonight, so even though the husband is busy with the cipher and the edim writing the get, the wife might have had an adulterous relationship before the night, and she'll say, I'm already divorced, because the get has the date of the day, which was before the get was effective. So even though we're learning there's a halacha of a sukim b'ayis inyan, it doesn't apply by a get. Another shaila that we should discuss regarding what kind of shtar does the halacha of a sukkah by Indian apply? Does a sukkah by Indian only apply to a shtar where the shtar affects the transaction? And since they were busy the entire time affecting transaction, we don't have to be concerned that they were doing something else on the side. Or even a shtar, it's a shtar raya, machlokes rishonim. And a rare shaila that I saw machlokes rishonim is where the get was, not a get, where a ksuba was saying that if they saw, they wrote today's date, even though it didn't get signed till tonight, the shtar is a valid shtar, is it on the ksuba and the Taisus Ksuba, or maybe it only applies to the Ksuba portion of the Ksuba, but not to the Taisus Ksuba part of the portion. The Paiskim, I saw the Sharm and Tziyana Balacha discusses, this is a very common Shaila. Let's say a wedding was supposed to take place today, and the Ksuba was prepared, and people many times prepare very expensive Ksubas, and they were planning on getting married today, and then it happens that the wedding gets delayed. And by the time, in the winter especially, this could happen, and the time they come to the wedding is only takes place, the chuppah only takes place the next day. So the ksuba has the wrong date on it, because the wedding was today, and the wedding was tomorrow, not today. What's the halacha? So the Sharm Tzion Balacha says, this is very commonly done by Rabbonim, that even though the ksuba has today's date, the chassan and kalah should make a kinyan, that the chassan is obligating himself to the terms of the ksuba from today, which turns out that the ksuba is a valid document because he obligated himself with a kinyan from today, and therefore even though the marriage took place the next day, that wouldn't disqualify the ksuba. So Shimon Machshe, we learned, as we said at the beginning of our shir, that a get has a date of today, and it wasn't, even though it's predated, Rav Shimon holds the get as a good get. Amar Rav, my time Rav Shimon, as we explained in the previous year, as we said yesterday, Rav Shimon is not concerned about Shem Techapa Basa Chaisa. What is concerned about Paris? But the halach is, as soon as the get starts to be written, even though they're not actually divorced, he's no longer entitled to the Paris. So there is no concern that he may take Paris that he's not entitled to, or she may get Paris, because halach is, as soon as they start writing the get, he's taka no longer entitled to the Paris. Amrav Shimon, Rokish, however, comments Rish Lokish, Lahich Rav Shimon El Alta. When Rav Shimon said that such a get is kosher, if the get taka was written today and given and signed tonight, but if there's going to be a time lag, even Rav Shimon would agree that that would disqualify the get. Avol, mikan v'atzar yomim, if there's a real time lag, loy. Even Rav Shimon would agree that it's not acceptable. And here we have a machloikis. The Birkas Avram says, the Gemara says 10 days, it doesn't really mean 10 days. As long as it didn't happen, or one right after the other, even Rav Shimon will agree that it's disqualified. The Rishash, interesting Rishash. The Rishash says 10 days means 10 days. Why? He says, because what does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says, Cheshinin Shemapias. We're concerned that maybe they had relations, maybe they were secluded during that time. Taisa says they didn't have to be actually secluded. Taisa says it gives the person time to think, and he may change his mind. I don't want to divorce my wife, says the Rishash. If we follow Taisa's explanation, we can understand the significance of 10 days. Just like we find a Seres Yimei Tshuva. And what does Seres Yimei Tshuva represent? A Seres Yimei Tshuva represents that a person meant to think and change. Here too, 10 days represents when a person could change his mind, which happens over 10 days. The Rishonim all agree that all of the concern that Shema Pius, whether we follow Rashi's explanation, Tosfos' explanation, is if the husband and wife are in the same city. But if we go back to what we learned earlier in this year, if the husband and wife are in different cities, we don't have to be concerned of that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Mekan V'Aser Yomim. Even if there's a time difference from when the get was written until it's delivered, we don't have to worry. Because Im Isa the Pious, if he would have indeed changed his mind, Kala Isla L'Milsa, everybody would have known of it. Itma, Amar L'Sara, if somebody said to 10 people, Kiss for get lishti. Somebody said, write a get for my wife. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnayim. He said, I want 10 people signing the get. Shnayim Mishamedim. Even though he said he wants 10 people signing the get, two are signing as the required witnesses to the get. The Kulam Mishum Tanai. The rest of the people are signing it only because of a Tanai. Rish Lakish Amar, Kula Mishim Edim. All 10 are considered Edim, not just that they are there to fulfill this husband's condition. Says the Gemara, Hei Chidami, exactly what is the case that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about? If it's that he didn't specifically say that I want all of you to sign, so even though there are 10 people standing there, but he didn't specify that I want all to sign, V'tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah later in Amasechta. Amos Sara, Kisvu Get Lishti. There are 10 people in the Bezdin, and a husband walks in and says, I want to get written for my wife. Even though there are 10 people in the Bezdin, the halach is Echid Kaisif, one signs, V'shnaim Chaisman. And the other two, one person writes, two sign, and that's all you need. Ella says, the Gemara, the Amalei Kulchem. It's talking about a case where he said, I want all 10 of you to sign. And that's the question, what role do these 10 people play? Rish Lakish says that they play, they're all Edim, they were all designated as Edim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, they were only, two were designated as Edim, which is required, and the rest are only because of tonight. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's the nafkamina? So the Maram Shif asks, there's an obvious nafkamina. Edim, a halacha that we've learned so much about in this Masechta, Edim have to sign Lishma. However, people who are signing because of a Tanai do not have to sign Lishma. So why doesn't the Gemara say that obvious nafkamina? Says the Maram Shif, a very bechidish, many achronim disagree with the Maram Shif. He says, even according to Rish Lakish, that says that they're all signing because they were designated as Edim, only two of them have to sign Lishma, and the other eight, even though they were designated as Edim, do not have to sign for Lishma. So that's not the nafkamina. You only need two signing Lishma, and the other eight don't have to sign Lishma. Bichidish. I saw Rabbi Yashiv and others disagree, and they say, Avada, they all have to sign, if they're all designated as Edim, they have to sign Lishma. But they want to suggest that even the other eight, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who are signing because of Tanai, were signing Lishma, because they're all signing with the same way and the same purpose, and that's why they all sign Lishma, and that's why the Gemara didn't choose this as a nafkamina. So my benai, what's the nafkamina? Ik benai the chosim betreminai biyoyme. Two of them signed today. Vinach me'ad b'kan v'asar yomim. And the rest didn't sign on this day. They signed later. Mandam mishum tanai. And as we learned on top of this amid, for a get to be valid, it has to be signed on the day that they were designated. So as long, mandam mishum tanai, if these other people didn't sign on that day, doesn't bother me, because they're not really Edom anyway. Or mandam mishum Edom, Edom have to sign on that day, and that's why possible. Inamar, inami, another nafkamina, is kigon shenimtza echemem karav apostle. One of them was found to be disqualified to be an aid. Lamanda omer mishum edim, if they were all designated as edim, so the halach is that a relative or somebody who's disqualified to be an aid can't be an aid. And not only can he not be an aid, but aid shabat l'mektsasa bat l'kula. If we have a situation where I designated, let's say, 10 people to be edim, 9 are fine. But one is a disqualified aid. Not only is he disqualified, but he disqualifies the entire group. And this is what the Paiskim say is the reason we find by weddings that the Mesadik Kedushin says that I'm being miyachid. I'm designating the two Edim, who are kosher Edim, to be Edim, to the exclusion of everyone else. Because obviously, usually in the room where a wedding takes place, there are a lot of people who are disqualified to be Edim. There are all sorts of relatives in the room. And if they're all going to be Edim, we're going to have a situation of Edim Shabbat Mektsasa, Bat Lekula. Lamandomer. So again, Kigon Shnam Echemem Karv Apostle. Lamandomer Shem Tanai, according to Mandomer that says Tanai, it's kosher. Lamandomer Shem Edim Apostle. Says the Gemara, Ichosim Betchila. If the person that signed on top of the Shtar, the first two witnesses, are kosher, what would be the ichasim betchila karv apostle? If that one of the top two people signed a karv apostle, amrle kosher. So some say that according to the man d'omer, that when we have 10 people signing, we say that two are signing as witnesses and eight are signing as a tanai. So the shtar is fine, because even though one of the top two Edom, or the top two Edom, are both possible, that doesn't disqualify the get. Because the other people who signed are kosher. And they'll be the people who I meant should be the Edom. However, Amalei kosher, Ramalei possible. Amalei kosher, Tanaihu. It's a Tanai. And that's why these two people, albeit that they're possible, don't disqualify the get, because I meant that the Edom should be one of the people who are not related to me. Amalei possible. Here, it's taka, not a problem. Why is not a problem? Because only two were designated as Edom, and the other eight were designated as Tanai. But somebody who sees this document will not recognize that, and will think that all of them were designated as Edom, and will see that it's a valid get. The woman got remarried based on this get. So they will come to believe that a shtar, or a get, where the Edom are relatives, is still a valid get, or still a valid shtar, which could lead to very serious repercussions. There was somebody who said to 10 people, write a get for my wife. Two of them signed on that day, and the rest signed in the course of the next 10 days. So they brought this get to Rav Shuba Levi. We could rely on Rav Shimon in such a situation that says that if the date that the get was signed is not the same date as the get was written, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, how can we follow, even if we're following the opinion of Rav Shimon, didn't we say at top of Amud Beis, Vamar v'shlokish lehichshir Rav Shimon el alter, even Rav Shimon who's more lenient, only if it's done in one day, not if it's done over 10 days. Avol mikan v'atzor yomim, where it takes this long time of 10 days, even Rav Shimon will agree that loy, it's not acceptable, says the Gemara, behik Rav Yochanan Sfirilei. Regarding that, Shaili holds like Rav Yochanan, that when we have 10 people designated to sign, we only consider two to be the Edom, and the other eight to be signing us tonight. If we're following Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, there's no problem at all. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the other eight could have easily signed over the 10 days, because they're not signing as Edom. Says the Gemara, he could have Rish Lakish really. We want to be machmed to Rish Lakish's opinion that they're not signing as Edom. So that's why, explains the Pnei Yeshua, we take a combination of Reb Shimon's opinion and Rish Lakish's opinion, and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and we come up with this kula that when the get was ready written, we could rely on this get. The Sfarim say, this is the basis why so many people, if they need a Yeshua, if they need something, they go to Miron to be mispalled by the kever of Shimon ben Yechai. Kedaihu Rav Shimon, we could rely on Rav Shimon, lismach Allah b'shas etchak. If somebody has a shas etchak, if somebody has something pressing him, Kedai Rav Shimon, we go be mispal by Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and he should help us be mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should have all the Yeshuas and the Chumas.